Traditionally, Christmas carols are not sung in church until Christmas, and then they're sung for the 12 days after. We've had plenty of conversation about this as a music staff and believe that people want to sing Christmas carols, and so instead of just singing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus for a month, we sing them early. But the one rule I keep is that we don't sing Silent Night or Joy to the World until Christmas. And so I love making sure we get another chance to sing that one. That one really, I don't know, that one makes it Christmas for me. If you were here on Christmas Eve, you heard me tell of my deep love of the John Denver and the Muppets album, A Christmas Together. Love that album. It even inspired our Advent and Christmas theme, Christmas Together. And I shared a story of how my family started every single holiday season with that album. How right after Thanksgiving, we'd put up the Christmas tree, put on the John Denver and the Muppets Christmas album, and begin to decorate together. Thing is, I didn't actually tell the whole story on Christmas Eve. Actually, I skipped an important part of the story. So this morning, you get to hear a little bit more of what Christmas preparation was like in the Lorvik household. You see, every year, when we decorated the tree, I would volunteer to go put the album on the record player. But instead of the Muppets, first I would put on the Pound Puppy Christmas album. For those of you who were not a child of the 80s or didn't have a child in the 80s, the Pound Puppies were a cartoon and stuffed animal craze featuring lovable and laughable dogs who were, as the name implies, in the pound. Their Christmas album was them half singing, half barking your Christmas favorites for an hour. I got the album from my aunt. I believe it was her own twisted way of making my father's life miserable. Oh, I loved that album. But when we would do our preparation and they'd say, okay, let's put on the Muppets, I'd run to the record player, put that on, and I'd play the Pound Puppies for at least one song, just long enough to watch the vein in my dad's forehead pop out. Then I would put on the Muppets. Now, that part of the story didn't seem necessary for Christmas Eve, but it sure makes me smile. Even as adults, I will still do that. But every year after that Pound Puppies interruption, John Denver and the Muppets would start our holiday season. The very first track on that Muppet Christmas album is them singing the 12 Days of Christmas. And it started this way. I didn't see this coming. I just passed it. I was like, they barked for an hour. Okay, enough of that. Okay, so, 12 Days of Christmas, I invite you to sing along with the Muppets.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three red hens,
two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
The fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three branch hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five gold rings,
four calling birds, three branch hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying,
five gold rings,
four calling birds, three red hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five gold rings,
four calling birds, three red hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
maids a-milking,
seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five
On the ninth day of Christmas, nine ladies dancing,
eight maids are milking,
seven swans are swimming,
six geese are laying,
five
calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 gold rings,
4 calling birds,
3 French hens,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping,
10 lords a-leaping,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 gold rings,
4 calling birds,
8 French hens,
2 turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming,
11 drummers piping,
10 lords a-leaping,
9 babies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 gold rings,
ba-dum-bum-bum, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Thank you for indulging me. And Marla, I'm glad I'm not the only one who embarrasses my wife when I sing that song. Today we celebrate the third day of Christmas. It is officially 3 French hens a day. At church, nonetheless. You gotta love it. There is a lot of fun stuff you can do with the 12 days of Christmas. One year, our neighbors did a secret Santa kind of a thing where they left one gift for each of the 12 days on our porch, would ring the doorbell and run away. So we got a can of peaches the first day, some Dove chocolate turtles the second day, some cute, cheap little examples of each of the 12 days. And on the 12th day, they brought little fake drums and stood on our porch and told us who they were. And it was really cool. I will tell you, if you buy the actual gifts, there's a group that monitors this every year as an interesting index of how prices change in our world. If you buy the actual gifts, it would cost you $34,130.99. That's if you bought each gift once. If you bought them cumulatively, meaning every time they're mentioned in the songs, you end up buying 12 partridges, 11 pairs of doves, this on and on and on, $155,407.18 on a total of over 364 gifts. Is insane. There is a sort of mythology to the song as well. The idea that perhaps the 12 days of Christmas is a secret Christmas Christian code, and every gift in the number has sacred Christian meaning to it. Totally not true. Just so you know. At least not the way it was written. I will tell you, people can look back at something that may not have been written that way and apply all sorts of meaning to it that carries great meaning, even it may not have been there when it was written. But that's an entirely different sermon. The biggest point of the song is quite simple. Christmas is not over. Christmas has just begun. For months now, it feels like we've been accosted by two different things in this world. The over-commercialization of Christmas, the fact that you can buy candy canes at the same time as you buy Halloween candy is just insane. And then, of course, there's also the ongoing, constant news reports claiming there is a war on Christmas. I find both of these things annoying, more annoying than my dad found the pound puppies. And both of them end up doing the exact same thing. They destroy Advent. They destroy Advent and deny us the opportunity to truly prepare and then celebrate the real Christmas. You certainly don't hear the news doing stories about the war on Advent. You see, Advent is a season of waiting and preparing, and it's been replaced by Christmas. That just doesn't work. I want you to ask a baker what happens if you replace letting the bread rise, with just baking it instead. Doesn't work. And I don't want a half-baked, unleavened Christmas. Usually leavening jokes are saved for Passover and Holy Week, but we got one at Christmas. We took our Advent to get ready for Christmas. We didn't celebrate Christmas until the 24th. Yes, it was Christmas time and we were getting close to it, but it's now Christmas. And there are already folks taking things off the tree, off the shelves, jamming in boxes and pushing them under the staircase as fast as possible. Because we're tired of it, aren't we? I hope not. We spent our 4 weeks getting ready. All of that preparation, the reflecting on hope and peace and love and joy. I want my Christmas. But after a month of the world rushing into Christmas, when we weren't even ready for it, now everyone's ready for it to be over. That makes me sigh a very belabored sigh. The baby was just born. The angels, you can still hear their voices echoing. That's how recently they were singing. The shepherds are probably still making their way through town on their way after having visited. Let's enjoy this for a few days. In fact, let's take 12. Next Sunday, we will celebrate Epiphany. It's the arrival of the Magi. Despite what almost every nativity scene in the world will tell you, the Magi weren't actually there when Jesus was born. We'll talk about that next week. It took them some time, and thus we give them a little bit of time. You'll notice they're on this side of the altar, and Jesus is on this side of the altar. Next week, oh yeah, they meet. Epiphany is the day we make our move from Christmas to something new. Now, this whole idea is quite an epiphany to some people. Between now and then, between Christmas and Epiphany, we are to continue celebrating the joy of Christmas. But if we're not giving outlandish gifts for some reason, if we're not handing out lots of birds, anyone ever realize how many birds are in that song? A lot of birds. What are we supposed to do with these 12 days of Christmas? Without the drummers drumming and the maids a-milking, what do we do with our 12 days? I like to take my cue of how to celebrate Christmas from Mary, the mother of Jesus. You get to pick a verse for today's sermon. You can either choose Luke 2:19 or Luke 2:51. How many want Luke 2:19? How many want Luke 2:51? I saw more hands for Luke 2:51. Turns out they're the same exact phrase, so I was prepared either way. The same line shows up twice, towards the beginning of the Christmas story and the end of the Christmas story. And the number one rule of the Bible is if something shows up more than once, it's important and you need to pay attention to it. Now, some translations will use the word ponder. Other translations will say treasured. My favorite translation of these scriptures reads this way. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. This is how we're to celebrate Christmas. Now, my little guy, he's what, 3.5? Joey knows the lyrics to the 12 Days of Christmas. Sort of. He knows days 1 through 5 like a pro. Days 6 through 9 are a little iffy, and verse 10, 11, 12, he just sort of makes them up. And then once we get to 5, he's comfortable again and he knows those words. Actually, I noticed as we sang, this is kind of true for many of us. You start scratching, 11's what again? Because you only sing that one twice. But man, by the time you get to 3, 2, and 1, it's like, I know those. Because 1 through 5 get repeated so many times, how could you not know them? Some of you are really angry I played the song because it's going to haunt your dreams tonight. We need the 12 days of Christmas to get the message of meaning of Christmas into our hearts and minds. One day of joy to the world isn't enough for it to really take hold. We need it over and over and over, 12 times over, so that it can take hold and stay with us. We need to consider Christmas carefully, and we need to commit its meaning to memory. So let's revisit the highlights of Christmas. God loves you. God wants to be and has chosen to be with us. God can bring hope and love into the messiest places of our lives, even if we haven't made room. God invites everyone to know peace and joy. These are messages that we need readily accessible year-round, not just for a moment on a silent night. Honestly, silent nights offer lots of opportunity and space for reflection. That's not when we need those things the most. It's the not-so-silent nights and the crazy days and the exhausted in-between times. That's when we really need to be able to remember these things the most. God loves you. God wants to be and has chosen to be with us. God can bring hope and love into the messiest places of our lives, even when we haven't made room. God invites everyone to know peace and joy. I'm going to email these to you today. When worship ends, the entire email list gets these bullet points in their inbox. If you're not on the list, I can add you from my phone. Just ask. I can make that happen. But I'm going to email them to you, and I want you to read them. I'm going to ask you to read them every single day all week. I want you to commit these things to memory and to consider them carefully. You see, that will be a Christmas gift that will bless you the way God intended, that will stay with you and carry you into all the days to come. So before I wish you Merry Christmas one more time, God loves you. God wants to be and has chosen to be with us. God can bring love into the messiest places of our lives, even when we haven't made room. God invites everyone to know peace and joy. Merry Christmas.